Okay, well, today we're still talking about grace to run your race, and in particular, talk to the dads about grace to grow faster as a father. Now, for all the ladies and the guys here who are not dads, I want you to know, just insert you in this as we go, and you will fit very easily, and you'll find help also. But anyway, as fathers, you know what? These are the things we don't always say out loud, but as fathers, we can deal with pressures upon us that want us to be something or to do something we don't think we can do. You know, here, hold this baby, change this diaper, and we're going, that's not me, I can't, I've tried. Whatever it is in any arena, we deal with things like that. And we all know that today there are very few good father role models portrayed in any media. But when there is one, he seems to be everything that I'm not and have everything that I don't. But this morning, the key, give it to you right up front, is engaging in the grace that God has already given to you to be a man, to be a dad, to be a husband. It's engaging in that grace, not just your ability and not letting yourself off the hook because of your inabilities. Because Philippians chapter 4 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we're often distracted by our shortcomings and limitations. Not that we'd ever admit it, but you need to remember, everything in life is not about us as dads. It's about Jesus. As John the Baptist said, we need to say of ourselves, I must decrease, but he must increase in life. Listen, God calls us to follow him in spite of our doubts, in spite of our fears, our misunderstanding about relationships and how to deal with people and so forth. We are not disqualified by our doubts, our fears. We can do anything that God calls us to do. How? By the grace. Now, grace here means God's enablement. God gives you ability to do things, but you've got to cooperate with it. We do this by the grace he's given us. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. In other words, it did something. It produced something. He says, and this is what it did. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He learned how to cooperate with who God made him to be and what God had already deposited in him via the new birth. And he chose to move in that track. Now, we all know to do something new can be uncomfortable. It can be difficult. I remember the first house my wife and I had, we were putting a little bit of wood flooring. It was a very small house, so not much wood flooring would fit. But where it came to the carpet, you know, my father-in-law, he came up to help because I'd never done wood flooring. And he says, we can do this, but coming here to this carpet, that scares me. I said, well, yeah, I wasn't going to do that. Okay. I told him, I said, it didn't scare me at all because in college I laid carpet. So I don't lay carpet anymore. I do for a few widows in the church who occasionally, but I'm too old to do that anymore. That's my story. And so. Anyway, it didn't scare me, but you know, when you do something for the first time or you look at something that you've not done before, it can be intimidating. But what God calls you to do, you can say, okay, God, I don't know. I don't know that I've got this. I don't know that I can do this, but I feel this prompting on the inside. You want me to move in this direction. So I'm going to trust you and then go. See, here's the deal. We want to say, God, you anoint me. You give me the knowledge. You put within me that know-how, and then I'll step forward. And God says, no. You step forward, and then I'll anoint you. I'll enable you. You got to take a step. We live by faith, not by sight. is trusting God with each step. Listen, God isn't looking for people who have the most ability, the most qualified. He's looking for availability. People that he will empower and enable by the power of his grace. So what do we need to do? Just make ourselves available, saying, God, here I am. This is a little bit scary, but I'm going to trust you and go for it. And even if I crash and burn, it's like learning to ride a bike. You know, you fall a few times, but you get back up. His plan is to use who we are. He will use the person that he's made you to be with all of your strengths and all of your weaknesses. They don't disqualify you. So the question then becomes, who are you really? You can't look at your past to determine who you are. You're not what you do for a living. You're not who you're married to. You're not just your nationality. And you're not merely a culmination of your failures and accomplishments. So, who are you really? The truth is, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You look at that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that declares we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the original language that the New Testament Greek that it was written in means something that has never existed before. When you receive Jesus, you put your faith and trust in what he's done for you. Something happens on the inside of you, and you become something, a new species that has never existed before. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture is very clear and very, very plain about. So the question is, why then do we continually look to the world's way of thinking, the world's influences, to try to understand ourselves? Why do we look to the world to try to explain something that's never existed before? You understand, the world around us, the people in the world around us, most of them do not believe that there's anything beyond this material, physical world. They reject it. And so, of course, they don't have any answers for you. You begin to look to them, you're going to get a distortion of who you are. You are born of God. So only God's word can inform you about the new you. So which point of view will you believe about you? Every time that little voice comes and the enemy tells you, you can't be the husband, the father, the man God calls you to be, begins to tell you how inadequate you are and how you failed over and over again. Reminds you of your faults and failures. It's time you start talking back to that. Refuse to believe his lies that you can't change. No bad habit can hold you captive. If you have a broken heart, it can be healed. Don't resign yourself to what your life is about now. Listen, your lot in life can improve and expand. It doesn't have to stay where it is right now. But you can't frustrate the grace of God. You got to cooperate with it. Focus on what the Bible says about you. Think on it and say out loud until you begin to believe it. Saturate your thinking with God's word so that the Holy Spirit can keep your thinking accurate and consistent about who you really are and what your life is about. How does this happen? Well, let me just give you the most practical thing that Scripture offers. James chapter 1 says, verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is." So God's word acts as a mirror. Again, have you ever gone to the fun house of mirrors at the fair or the carnival. You look completely different in each mirror, don't you? In life, there are different mirrors that we face to reflect back who we think we are. But the truth is, most of the mirrors that we're looking at in life, they lie to us. They're a distortion of who we really are. One of these lying mirrors is the mirror of memories. When we look to our past experiences to determine what we can do or what we can't do, we're using a distortion of ourselves. When thinking about you, do your most embarrassing moments show up? They do in my head. And if this is influencing how you see yourself, if it's influencing your identity, you're going to have a wrong understanding and view of who you are. Using this mirror of memories, the image that comes back to you might be something like, hey, you need to quit trying. You've been there, you've done that. Just one quick example. You remember when David went to challenge Goliath, fight Goliath. King Saul brought him in and said, here, put on my armor. Here's my sword. David's standing there. No, I have no experiences. I haven't proven these. He took what he did have, his sling and some stones, and he defeated the giant. But I've got news for you. David rejected armor and a sword. But through time, David is not leading as king, especially the troops out into battle with his sling. He learned to use a sword. What I'm saying is, just because you had something, you tried to do something, you tried to, okay, I think I need to move this and relate this way to this person or that person, and it just blows up, you know, it doesn't work out well, doesn't mean you quit on it. If that's the thing that God has put in your heart to do, you just say, okay, God, I need your help to get better at this. I'm just not going to throw it out forever. David would have been foolish to have done that, and he would have died a very early death if he goes to hand-to-hand combat, and he's trying to sling people, you know, standing 2 feet in front of him. Not going to work out well. You can do it. Listen, those mirrors may say, quit trying, you'll fail again. Listen, we do need to learn from our past, certainly. But then laugh at it, just like at the funhouse mirrors. Just laugh at it and move on. Don't rely on the mirror of your memories. The only mirror that gives you a true reflection of who you are as a new creation in Christ Jesus is primarily the New Testament epistles of Paul. That's where we find that revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ. Another lying one is the mirror of other people's minds. The problem is, we think we can accurately know who we are, or we can define ourselves by looking into this mirror. But listen, if you look into the mirror of other people's opinions about you, you're going to be at the mercy of their opinions. Certainly people can give you feedback and encouragement, but you can't look to their thinking to determine who you are. I mean, what happens if you find yourself surrounded by people who really don't think that much of you? Your self-esteem, your attitude about you is going to be in trouble, right? You can't even rely on, hear me, you can't rely on your own thinking about yourself. You need to know that Jesus has set you free from the limiting opinions you have about yourself. So choose to move and to live in the mirror of God's word. The truth of the matter is, your life is not locked down in failure, jealousy, or anger. You're not a prisoner to the pain you have on the inside of you. Even if you're experiencing these things in your life, it's not who you are really. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, again, you became a new creation. And as you keep turning to God's word to learn more about who you are and what you can do, you will begin to live more and more in that new creation reality. The third false mirror to be aware of is the mirror called true. Again, it may be true that you did something that you're now ashamed of. But the truth of God's word will always triumph over what's been true in your life. See, the enemy comes to you and says, you know you did this, you scoundrel, you know what you've been thinking, you know what you said, all these different things. So this is what I do. I say, yeah, that's true. I did that 5 years ago. I did that 5 minutes ago, whatever it is. But I have repented of that. It's forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus. And my sin is not greater than what Jesus did for me on the cross. I choose to believe what the word says about me. I'm forgiven, and I choose to live as if I'm forgiven. I'm not going to let that be a weight that I'm dragging around. No. Don't put up with it. It only feeds you. You feed it. The more you think on it, the bigger and stronger it becomes in your life. Put a stop to it now. Talk back. Listen, you have the nature of God on the inside of you. You're His child. And now you have the power to overcome struggles, sins, bad habits in a highly effective and completely new way. You may be trapped by something you want to be free of. And the way you begin to do this is by speaking God's word, scripture, and by speaking scripturally. Some of you guys, I know you're going to say, I can't memorize scripture. Okay, but you know, you've read, you've heard enough scripture that you can come close enough. And that's all that counts. Because listen, just one little word out of that is all that God needs. He's looking for an opportunity to come in to help you, to empower you to overcome. He's not saying, hey, man, until you get that verse memorized, you're just going to suffer, sucker. He's not doing that. You say, yeah, but I'm the one to blame. I'm the one who's got myself in this mess. Let me remind you, when Jesus came walking, his disciples were in a boat in the middle of a storm on the sea. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. And they screamed out, it's a ghost. You know, they were scared. And Jesus says, no, it's me. And Peter says, if it's you, tell me I can walk to you on the water. He says, come. Peter begins to walk on the water until he starts looking at the wind, the waves, the storm around him, and then he began to sink. And then he cried out, Lord, help me. I love the language there because it says, immediately, Jesus stuck forth his hand and pulled him up. Jesus didn't come along, Peter, you were doing so great, you know. Look at you now, you know, you put yourself in this problem. I'm just going to leave you swallowing salt water here for a while and see how you do. No, it says immediately. That's the heart of your Heavenly Father towards you. Not to leave you in the middle of your muddle of your own making, but to bring you through it. You speak to it. You remember one morning, Jesus is walking by a fig tree. He found nothing on it, and he spoke to a tree. Yeah, Jesus talked to trees. He also talked back to the devil too. We need to be more like Jesus. Anyway, he comes to this tree and he says, no person eat fruit from you from now on. Disciples, he's just talking to trees. Okay. They're walking into town. They're looking at that tree. They go into town. They spend the day there. They come back in the evening. They walk by the tree and the tree looks exactly as it did that morning. Seemingly no change. They go back to their campsite, they camp, they get up in the morning, they come back to go to town, and they look at the tree, and they notice that the tree had died from the roots up. What's the message here? The things in your life that you're dealing with that are problematic for you, you need to speak to. You need to talk to them. No. And even though they don't appear to change, know that the moment that you speak the word, where are roots? Roots are underground, right? You can't see underground, can you? But you know and you believe that I speak, that they're going to dry up from the roots. And even though it doesn't seem like anything on the outside, above ground has changed, I know. And I just declare it again in the name of Jesus, you're dead to me. You're dead in the sense that you have no power, no effect in my life. And even though it doesn't seem like anything changed, you can listen, you know, Jesus only had to speak to it once. You and me, well, we may have to speak to it a wee bit more than that. But that's okay. You continue to declare it and believe that this thing is dying from the roots up. Believe it, even when you can't see it yet. These mirrors distort who we really are. They limit us. And if you spend more time looking into these lying mirrors, especially in your thought life, even though you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, you will live a life that looks nothing like the one that God has for you. It's very important that you look at yourself in the right mirror, because then you will begin to live out the image on the inside of yourself. In fact, the most important thing you can do is to find out the truth and then believe it. And let's start with Jesus' words on this one. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth, all this material world, will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Look to the truth of God's word, the mirror of God's word, to determine who you are, what you can do, even if you don't feel like you can. You think, well, that's not really in me. Oh, yes, it is. If that's what God called you to do, it's there. You need to work with it. The only source of truth you can count on is God's word. You need to keep looking to the truth of his word consistently. And you will begin to take on the habits and behaviors of who you see in the mirror of God's word. Only then can it help to bring about the kind of life God has for you, and one that you're excited to live. But if you spend more time looking to the mirrors of this earthly life, you'll be limited to living an earthly existence. And what's worse, you will then come to doubt the truth and promises of God. Yeah, I've heard that one before. I've been in church a long time. I've heard that. I just don't believe that anymore. It's because you're looking into the wrong mirrors. You're believing the wrong things. The enemy wants to convince you on the inside that you are less than who you really are. And that's why we need to know about the grace of God that has already been given to you. It's there. But if you don't use it, listen, you can go on the job and you can have, you know, the latest, newest, fancy tools, the best of whatever. But if you never take them out of the back of the truck and use them, they don't do you any good. Just because you have something doesn't mean it's automatically going to be functioning in you. There's power in you so that you can inwardly correct and align your thinking before that stuff shows up on the outside. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we now have, not going to have someday, we now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. If you keep looking to the natural physical man, I don't have what it takes to do that or to be that over there or whatever, you're probably right. But why would you want to limit yourself to your physical abilities? When you gave your life to Christ, again, you became a new creation, something that's never existed before. And inside your mind, there's a battle going on for how you see yourself and how you're going to live your life. Well, Pastor, but how can these things be? I just don't see much of this in my life. Well, you begin by building upon the truth of God's word. It's growth. And yes, growth, while growth can take time, you don't want to prolong. You don't want to make that growth process take any longer than it needs to be. You start with the reality of Christ Jesus is in you. Look with me at Galatians chapter 2. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I'm not merely relying on my physical person. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, you might be thinking, you know, I don't know, Jesus Christ living in me? He can't be living in me. You don't know what I think about or how far away I feel from God. The thing is, you can't rely on hypocritical behavior to determine the truth. Yes, I'm going to repeat myself here on hypocrisy. That's what a good teacher does, is repetition, right? The enemy will lie to you and say, why are you even thinking about showing up at church? You big hypocrite. You know what you did this last week. And you're going to go to church and think you're one of those holy, righteous Christians. That's the lie of the enemy. What is a hypocrite? I got a couple of minutes here, so you'll get a little more of the full dose. you don't see them hardly ever. You have to go to an older movie theater, but they used to be, even in theaters, they would have a couple of masks on the wall. A frowny face and a smiley face, right? And in the ancient world, that's what people did to portray certain scenes in certain plays. They would be behind a mask. And, you know, you can even go back to the early 1900s, the early silent movies. And, you know, the damsel in distress and the banker who's coming along and he's putting on a smiley face and telling her, oh, it's all going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. You just need to marry me or whatever. And really then behind the mask to the audience, he's going, you know, because he's lying to her. He's hiding behind a mask. He's pretending to be something that he's not, right? Isn't that what we understand a hypocrite to be? Pretending to be something that you are not. So let's go back. Who are you really? You are a child of God. This is the place you belong. This is being true to your real self, is identifying with God and taking steps. Listen, let me tell you, you're not a hypocrite because you showed up at church after doing some stupid thing yesterday or this last week. You, as a child of God, you were a hypocrite when you did the stupid thing because you weren't being true to who you really are. As a child of God, this is doing this wrong thing is not a part of who God's made me to be, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I come to the Lord. I gather with God's people. This is the most unhypocritical thing that you can ever do as a child of God. But the enemy has lied to us. And all these feelings come over. Oh, I can't go to church. I can't talk to the Lord. I just feel so far away. I've just done some dumb stuff. And oh, just feel icky about myself. And then he lies to you. Yeah, you big hypocrite. You can't go to church. That'd be so hypocritical. No. You need to turn this around. And when you do something dumb, you need to say, oh, man, am I a hypocrite? Because that wrong thing is not who God made me to be. I'm not unrighteousness, I'm righteousness. So I need to get right by 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, agree with God, you're right, I was wrong. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Learn the tactics of the enemy and don't fall prey. Scripture tells us, don't be ignorant of Satan's tactics. Yet so many Christians are. So, you can only look to God's word to determine what is true, what is right, what is hypocritical, what is unhypocritical. Colossians chapter 1, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ, the benefits and the prestige of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance, confidence, sharing his glory. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. And I'm glad that my family's not amening that. But they very easily could. But see, I don't live in the condemnation of my failures. It's not that I just blow them off and treat them as nothing. It's just that I acknowledge, God, you're right. I was wrong. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Some Sundays I shouldn't have worn that. inside joke. But the point is that you can choose to be dragged down by all the things that have been wrong in your past, or you can come to God's word and let the truth of God's word. Jesus says, I am the truth, the life, and the way. I choose to believe Jesus over what's been true of all the dumb stuff that I did. This is greater than the things that have been true in my life. And I'm not going to side with that and commiserate and feel bad and get all down over that. I'm going to gravitate to Jesus and trust him that what he says is true, that I can move forward. This is a reality. It's yours. Guys, gals too. You get up in the morning or any time of day, you look in the mirror. Could I challenge you to do this? Look at yourself in the mirror. Jesus, I know you're in there. Say that with me. Jesus, I know you're in there. Jesus, I know you're in there. Say that when you look at yourself in the mirror, because he is in you. Scripture declares it. Otherwise, you're declaring that God's word is lying. It's not true. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've been born again. He lives in you in spite of the dumb stuff you've done. And I've done a lot of dumb stuff. Become more aware of his presence in you and you'll experience more of his power in your life. Just one more story from Scripture. You know, because we can look at ourselves and think of everything that I'm not. I don't feel like that's in me, that I can do that. That, okay. Remember when Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children? So you're probably looking at close to 15,000 people there. And he asked his disciples, what do you got? Well, this little boy's got a lunch. I think I can take him, Jesus, and get his lunch from him. Few fish, we call them loaves. They're not loaves of bread like we have. They're like, think of a small pancake, okay? But it's a little boy's lunch, so it's not much. And one of his disciples, Philip, said, well, we have this, but this is so inadequate. What is this among all those? And Jesus said, give it to me. Jesus will take the little bit that you have that you think is not enough. And he will take it, break it, bless it, and it'll be more than enough. More than enough in your life, through your life, to others. You just need to offer him yourself, all that you are and all that you aren't. When everything and everyone else seems to be wrong and they're moving in the wrong direction, remember, like the scripture says concerning Noah, it's back in Genesis chapter 6. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. meaning he's looking to the Lord to see the Lord's eyes, and he finds grace there. He finds help. So where are you looking most of the time? You looking into all the wrong mirrors? Or are you looking into the mirror of God's word? Paul heard the Lord say to him, "My grace, my ability, my enablement, my help is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." To that, Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." It's because of God's grace. God is more than enough in your life. Last verse, I promise. Psalm 68 says this, that God, he is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. God, this is who God is in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary, the lonely, in families. He brings out those who are bound, tied up, limited, lacking, not enough. He brings them into prosperity, more than enough. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Listen, God is a father to the fatherless. What you aren't, what your dad wasn't or isn't, you can find in your heavenly Father beginning today. It all comes down to this. It's one thing to believe in God. It's quite another thing to believe God, what he says about you, who he's made you to be. It's one thing to believe in God. It's quite another thing to believe God. So let me ask you this morning, which of these will be true for you starting today? Oh, I believe in God. Good. But when are you going to start believing God? That what he says about you is true, and you're going to believe it and begin to act on it. Whether you feel it or not, it is the most unhypocritical thing you can do. Let's all stand this morning.